Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
If you were on Tinder and you matched with someone called Warren,
oh no,
would you go on a date with him?
No, I wouldn't match with them.
This podcast contains graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Now, with that being said, welcome to the Mortal Musings podcast.
Right, let's do this.
Right, so...
I thought I'd say something this time.
Okay, you go, it's your turn.
Yeah. Right, something that I was thinking about for the past couple of days.
Save my starter for next week then, yeah.
So, when I was a kid, yeah, one of our school trips, and I'm talking like early junior school, so like, I was probably like 7, 8 year old.
Mm-hmm.
I might be wrong, but fairly certain I was very young. One of our school trips was to go to this old Victorian manor where they still had staff, and you would have to wear clothes like a Victorian boy or girl, and you lived the day as a Victorian. Now, I'd never heard anyone else say this. And then the other day on Instagram, I was scrolling through the reels, and there was a British guy, and he said, "Am I the only one? When I was at school, we had a school trip where we had to pretend we were Victorian children, playing with Victorian toys, washing, like," and he was saying everything I'd done.
Mm.
He had to wash clothes and dry them the Victorian way.
Yeah, it was like a
big drum thing.
An immersive experience type of thing.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then all they fed you was bread and soup, which luckily I enjoyed the soup.
Mm.
And I definitely enjoyed the bread.
I like a bit of soup.
Yeah. It was like that, you know, the vegetable soup, but you could see through it. You could see the bottom of the bowl. Like.
Yeah, broth.
Yeah. So yeah, but we had to play with these toys. Now, when I say toys, one were like a big hoop and you'd roll it.
And one was just a plank of wood.
You'd roll it and mm-hmm. then you'd hit it with a stick to keep it going.
Yeah, the old hoop and stick.
Yeah, and it was like, oh, we do this for fun. Like, mm. I don't understand this.
I bet it takes a bit of skill though to get it going. Like,
hit it once and I was bored. And then they had, you know, the little like table tennis racket with string and a ball.
Yeah, the old ball and the string. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, do you know what else they had? It were like, right, the best way for me to describe it, it was like, think of a street light, but okay, very small. You're holding it and it's got long string and a ball and you've got to flick it and catch the ball in the...
The old ball in the cup.
Yeah. I might be describing that really bad, but that's best you're going to get from me.
That sounds like a great school trip.
It fucking was. It was boring.
I think I would have enjoyed that.
Like, the staff would talk to you like shit.
What do you mean?
So like, within 5 minutes, we were bored of all the toys. Fucking shit. They were like, "Play hopscotch." And it's like, no. Why the hell am I going to do that?
I played hopscotch at school.
Yeah, and look at you. Yeah, so I said, I don't want to play with them toys. Like, we're in a massive manor.
Mm.
Huge fucking manor. So I was like, hide and seek. Tag.
Yeah.
Shit like that.
Great venue first.
We'll do that. And these Victorian wannabes fucking...
Hanger-ons.
Basically said, get the fuck outside and play with the Victorian toys.
Mm.
I said to our teacher, well, look, we're not enjoying them toys, but we're not needing any objects to have fun. We're using our imagination, we're using our brain.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a chocolate egg for that.
Oh, working on your own initiative kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for you. That sounds like a deadly school trip. The most exciting one I ever had was, like we talked about the other week, going,
going
to the
to a crypt.
Yeah, that was, no, but it is interesting and something different. Other than that, a lot of trips to the Dublin Zoo, a lot, a hell of a lot. In secondary school, went to Barcelona, which I was livid about because I've been to Barcelona a million and one times and it alternates from year to year.
Yeah.
And I landed on the year it was Barcelona. I was hoping for Paris and I was fuming.
See, the one.
Did I ever tell you about the hostel we stayed at?
Yes.
And there was the stripper and everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like a stag do there and they had a stripper there and they had all these like 14-year-old kids. And all the lads realized, oh shit, there's a bunch of kids. So they like lined up to try and like cover the stripper. It wasn't well thought out, I don't think, by the school.
See, the only foreign place we had were, in secondary school, it was to go skiing in Italy.
Mm.
I was really looking forward to it, but I'd been suspended too many times that year. So I was blacklisted from going. They were like, there's no chance we're taking him abroad.
Yeah.
I felt a bit targeted, but, you know.
You felt targeted by your own behaviour?
Yes.
Mm. See, I was also fuming with my school trip because I had tickets to a concert on the last night of the trip.
Mm.
And I couldn't go. And it was my favourite band playing and I was very upset. And so that was also quite begrudging of the entire trip because of that.
I'm sure they managed without you.
Mm. You'd think, but they've since disbanded.
But yeah, no, the Victorian thing, we're okay. I would much prefer, especially when I was a lad, I would have much prefer like Viking a day. So if someone pisses me off, I just hit them with a sword or something.
Mm.
You know, instead, you know, Victorian thing, it was like plague.
We went to a castle once, actually, I've just remembered. That was kind of not the same as what you're saying, but you know, when they had like actors acting the bollocks and they're like putting on this whole thing, which I was just like, all right, this is a bit much. Can you just show me the stuff? You don't need to be like trying to speak a certain way and all this. That takes me out of it a bit. It's a bit cringy for me.
But yeah. If I found a Viking thing, would you go?
We'd go to Waterford. That's a big like Viking city.
No.
What do you mean no?
No, I mean a proper fucking...
You've been to Waterford.
I have been to what? No, I know it's a Viking. Like Vikings were there. That's
all
the
over
only
the gap
thing.
They were.
No, I mean a proper fucking, like you go to a village out in the shticks.
Yeah.
In like Sweden or Danes or something.
With your tour guide Sven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you go?
What do you
like for a weekend? You're a Viking.
No. I'm not doing this kind of interactive shite. That doesn't appeal to a woman like myself at all.
Oh.
I'll go. I'll happily go and learn about it. But as soon as it's like, oh, let's dress up and role play. No, no, I'm not doing that. I just want to sit
down.
Even
for me?
No, yeah, I wouldn't do it for you.
That's
I just
a leaveable offence.
Is it? I just want to learn about stuff. Don't drag me into it. I'm mortified when you're trying to like get me to be part of it. I'm more than happy to take a back seat and just learn from you. Do you get what I'm saying?
Okay.
I don't need to be wearing a fucking, you know,
yeah, so you
bonnet
won't,
or
so
what have
so
you.
So you won't play soldiers at airsoft. You won't be a Viking. You want me to go and look at skulls underground. Right, got it.
I'm quite a boring... But no, sorry, hang on. You said you wanted to do that.
For you?
I thought you wanted to.
I could live without it.
I feel like you're just... You know, backpedaling now to say, like, I would do this for you.
Yeah. But yeah, any British listeners, I don't even think the age range matters because I'm sure they'll have done it after I was at school and before. But when you were a lad or a lass at school, did you have to pretend to be Victorian for the day? Like, the lads were wearing like flat caps and shit stoppers on. Mm. Right. For our listeners, shit stoppers are. When you tuck your trousers into your socks.
To stop the shit.
Yeah, the shit stoppers. Flat cap, shit stoppers.
Mm.
Fucking shirt and a waistcoat, I think. I can't remember. Shorts. Long socks and shorts.
It's a look.
Yeah. So, we have found two more lunatics who are willing to listen to more of us on Patreon. Okay.
Yeah.
Fucking head on you.
Sorry, I'm just listening to you. I'm letting you speak.
Ah.
One like you.
So the first one is Jackie.
Jackie. Do you know what came into my mind straight away when I saw that name?
Jackie Boy from fucking Sons of Anarchy.
No.
Yeah, Jackie Boy.
No, because Jackie has, or Jacqueline has, joined Patreon while it is ferociously hot outside. Middle of a fucking heat wave, lads. So straight away, I thought of, well, damn, Jackie, can't control the weather.
I don't get it.
That 70s show.
I didn't watch it.
Mm.
See, do you know what I thought?
Also, Jackie O came to mind.
See, her nickname could be Bullshit Artist or something like that, because Jackinory. That's what came into my head straight away. Jackie, Jackinory.
Mm.
Jackinory story. Talking shit. Bollocks.
Just want to point out as well, she didn't put her name down as Jackie. So she may be like, don't call me that.
She bloody did.
No, Jacqueline.
No. It says Jacqueline and then it said Jackie.
Oh, I apologise.
On the...
I saw the Jacqueline part.
No, to do the address label to send stuff out.
Mm-hmm. She might have been hoping...
I'm fucking certain it said Jackie.
It doesn't matter. Her name's Jackie now anyway.
Yeah. Jackinory.
You're gonna you're gonna have to deal with it, Jackie. Damn, Jackie, I can't control this. Second shout out we have is for Kayla.
KK.
Careful now. That's two K's. You don't need a third one. That's enough. So Kayla, KK, and no more. Thank you very much for your support. And Jackie. Can't forget Jackie. Jackie O. Jackinory.
Don't be talking shit about us.
Mm, probably will.
Lying little shit.
Thank you both for your support. We really appreciate you.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
So, with that out of the way, what you got for us today?
Today we are going to be talking about the murder of Laura Hotling.
Don't know that one.
Laura Hotling was born on the 8th of April 1969 to parents Fred and Penny and was raised in Bethesda, Maryland. Her parents divorced in 1977 while Laura was still a child. Her father was said to have suffered from depression and would disappear from time to time. He passed away in 1986 at the age of 59. Moving into adulthood, Laura was described as a bright, ambitious young woman. Hardworking, strong, brilliant.
They never say anything negative about a victim, do they?
Sometimes.
It's always brilliant, hardworking, would give you the shirt off their back. Beautiful. Like, they never say, she was a lovely girl, average looking.
Well, this is why I'm probably alright, because I'm just a prick. Although she did have a friend or two who brought out the more rebellious side of her.
There it is.
But overall, Laura was an incredibly responsible, reliable person.
When she's not with them two.
Laura was 23 years old, stood at 6 foot tall, with shoulder-length blonde hair and brown eyes. And having recently graduated from Harvard, Laura looked set to have a promising future. Following her graduation, she moved back home to live with her mother, and began a career in public relations at a firm in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. What are you laughing at?
Ooh.
Pish posh.
Pish posh. On the 19th of October, 1992, 23-year-old Laura was seen leaving her home, making her way to the train station to make the commute to work. She was due to start at 9 a.m., but Laura never arrives at work. By 11 a.m. and Laura still hasn't arrived or called in, her boss, Diana Holman, begins to worry.
So you wouldn't have to worry this day and age, like with CCTV on the trains, CCTV all over the stations. Fuck me, you're getting an Uber and you're on camera.
Oh, but yeah, I mean...
If you're in back of an Uber, do not pick your nose.
In terms of the investigation, yeah, but at this point when it's just someone hasn't got from A to B.
Yeah.
You know? Diana calls her daughter, Hillary, who was friends with Laura, to see if she knew her whereabouts. When Hillary says that she hadn't heard from Laura,
Diana asks her to drive to Laura's house and check that she is okay. When she arrives at the home, Laura's car is parked out front, but no one answers when she knocks on the door. She peers through the window, but doesn't see anything that looks out of place. She walks around to the rear of the house. The sliding doors were unlocked, and she enters the home. The house was empty. Laura's mother Penny was out of town on business, and there was no signs of Laura. After it became clear that no one was home, Hillary locks the sliding doors from the inside and exits through the front door. Unable to make contact with Laura, and knowing that her mother was away, they call Laura's brother, Warren. Warren decides...
Don't like him.
You don't like Warren?
No.
Because his name's Warren?
Yeah. He's going to be a little weirdo, isn't he?
No.
Oh. Well, the name Warren, come on, you can see where I'm coming from with that.
Wouldn't be my most favourite of names, but we need to rein in with all these people we've got on the list.
No, but if you were on Tinder and you matched with someone called Warren...
Oh, no.
Would you go on a date with him?
No. I wouldn't match with them.
You can see now, right, anyone called Warren, as soon as they hit adulthood, they're wearing Dharma-style glasses, they're wearing a green fucking knitted jumper, they're balding on top and got gel in their hair and got it combed off, brown hair, wouldn't really get a blonde Warren, brown hair, glasses, jumper. Them trousers, what when you walk, cords.
Corduroys, yeah.
Yeah. You got cords on. Shit flickers. Got them on. Their shoes with like long toes on them. You know what shit flickers are?
Yeah. I didn't know if there was more to your description.
No, I think that's enough. Clean shaven.
You just had to get that off your chest, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, it was very descriptive and I appreciate that, but that is not the Warren we're talking about.
Okay.
Warren does seem like a decent lad, and he decides to head over to the house himself. Again, there's no one home, but the house looked fine, nothing out of place and nothing had been taken. But of course, Warren was concerned. It was totally out of the norm for Laura to drop contact. Once her mother Penny arrives home, she didn't seem to be too worried up front. She thought that Laura had probably just gone off with her friends or possibly with a guy she'd been seeing. I would assume she was in denial and this was probably the easier way to process the fact that her daughter was seemingly missing.
Yeah. So she's left the arse.
Mm-hmm.
Was she seen at the station?
No.
So somewhere between, I'm being a detective now. So somewhere, how far was the house to the station?
It wasn't a quick walk. She would usually get a lift from her mother to the station, but because her mother was away, she decided to walk it.
Okay. What was the area like where she was walking? Are we talking industrial, residential, retail? What?
I predominantly residential, I assume. I don't know. It's a long enough walk.
So she could be in anyone's arse.
She could be. As police performed a formal investigation, Lauren's brother Warren and her friend Susanna were conducting their own private investigation.
Like me?
Exactly like you. They called around hospitals to check if Laura had been admitted as a patient, as well as department stores to see if she'd been using her credit cards. But they found nothing. The police also checked her bank accounts for any possible leads as to her whereabouts. But they found that there had been no charges or cash withdrawals made. On the 20th of October, the day following Laura's disappearance, the detectives spoke with some of Laura's friends. They told them that Laura had spent Saturday night with a guy who she had been dating casually, and she spent Sunday at home relaxing.
So it's him.
Missing posters were printed up and distributed throughout the train station that Laura travelled through to work every day. And the path she travelled to the station was searched by police. While conducting a search of Laura's bedroom, they checked bills, photographs and notebooks, hoping for some clue as to where she was. But they found nothing. Something they did pick up on, though, was Laura's bed. Laura always made her bed. It was part of her morning routine. But on the day of her disappearance, she didn't just leave the bed unmade. There was no mattress protector or bed sheet.
Yeah, but I wouldn't look into that too much because she was used to getting a lift to the station. This time she was walking, so she'll have been in more of a rush in the morning.
Possibly, or, you know, if she'd had an accident or something.
Yeah, she could have shat bed.
I was thinking more if it was, if she'd had her period and she just quickly stripped the bed in the morning before going to work. But you went another way.
Just going off of experience.
Either way, that wasn't the case. They also checked the hamper and found nothing that would indicate this.
What, she hadn't shat the bed?
No.
Okay. So where was the bed in?
Well, that is the question, isn't it?
Like covers and that.
Well, they did search nearby vacant houses, hoping that they would find something. You know, maybe the bedding, clothing. I mean, worst case scenario, a body.
Well, she... Let's say she did have an accident in bed. Yeah?
You're latched onto that now, aren't you?
No. And she knew, right, I'm walking to the train station today and I know I'm passing the dry cleaners. They'll get it out. So did they check the local dry cleaners? What's wrong?
I don't have that information.
I'm bloody trying here.
No, you are. I'd really appreciate it.
You're fucking laughing at me.
Just the details you latch onto so fucking hard. They could have used you in the informal investigation, couldn't they?
Yeah. Like you go into the bedroom, you see bed to stay, and you're like, shat bed. That's a shat bed.
Case closed.
That bed's been shitted on. Let's check the dry cleaners. Between here and the train station, see how many dry cleaners there are. Let's check.
What the fuck? Oh my God. Right, well, let's continue with the story and maybe we'll loop back round.
Okay.
4 days after her disappearance, in the woods near her home, police find a pillow that was soaked in blood. There was also sort of swipe marks left in blood, consistent with someone having used the fabric to clean the blade of a knife. Upon closer inspection, they were able to lift a partial print which had been left in blood.
And it's not her?
No.
Okay.
Now, the pillow was still in its case, and they recognised the pattern as it was the same set that had been on Laura's bed. The blood was tested and found to be type A, Laura's blood type. A search dog named Sherlock was familiarised with Laura's scent and brought into the woods near her home. As soon as they released him, he went straight to the tree where they previously found the pillow. Sherlock then followed the scent through a nearby church parking lot, through housing, and to the back door of Laura's home. Of course, to make sure that the blood did in fact belong to Laura, they took samples from the pillow as well as from Laura's mother and brother. They also checked Laura's hairbrush and collected 30 hairs from the brush. Restricted fragment length polymorphism, or RFLP, was the method used to obtain a result, and it concluded that the blood did belong to Laura. Can you tell I watched a Forensic Files episode about this case?
Yeah.
That language I'm using.
Yeah.
Look at me go. So, as it stands at this point, they're fairly positive that there is foul play, but have nothing to go on.
Hang on, I've watched all the Forensic Files. I should know this.
You do know this case.
How do you know?
Because you've watched all the Forensic Files.
Okay. What name don't ring a bell?
There's going to be a certain point in this episode where it clicks. Okay. And you go, ah, yes, I'm familiar.
Okay.
So as it stands at this point, they're fairly positive there's foul play here, but they have nothing really to go on. Detectives spoke to pretty much everyone they could who was in Laura's life, or had been within the last few years, and they couldn't find anyone or any possible reason why someone would have wanted to harm her. The last person Laura had been in contact with was a co-worker the night before she was due in work. And she told her co-worker that she would see her tomorrow. Police also found it odd that the dog ran straight to the back door when Laura had last been seen leaving through the front door. After the discovery of Laura's blood-soaked pillow, they get the luminol out and check her mattress.
Ah, right. So, for people who don't know, I know this. Luminol is a chemical, and if you spray it around the gaff and then switch the lights off and then you shine a black light, if there's blood present, it fucking glows like Blackpool.
Lights up, it does.
Fucking does.
So they sprayed her mattress with the old trusty Luminol,
mm-hmm.
and the entire right-hand side of the mattress, it's covered. There had clearly been significant blood loss and had been cleaned up after.
So it's more than a period?
Yes.
Okay. You don't know, because some people are heavier than others.
Well, this was the right-hand side of the mattress.
Oh, yeah, not Saf.
Not Saf, no.
Yeah. Okay.
With this, they believe that Laura had been murdered within the home, within her bed.
But then walked out the front door and left.
This is the thing, they can't figure it out.
So another woman. The murderer is a woman. The co-worker.
Well, they don't have a timeline or anything yet.
Right.
They have this evidence that is starting to appear, but then it's also like, well, she was seen here. What's going on?
Yeah. Maybe it's a witness who got the timeline wrong.
Happens all the time.
Yeah.
Once Laura's family are informed that they now believe this is a murder investigation, Warren, Laura's brother, tells the police about a strange encounter he had with his mother's gardener. As Warren was stood outside of his mother's house, he spotted the gardener as he was driving past. He attempted to stop him in order to ask him if he had seen Laura, but the gardener ignored him and drove off. Certainly strange behaviour, and it's not like you wouldn't recognise Warren, who was 6'7".
Fucking hell.
Kind of hard to miss. And don't forget, as the gardener, he would have been on the property, and there was a spare key kept in the shed. So, who is this gardener, and what's his deal? Haddon Irving Clark was born on the 31st of July, 1952, in New York to parents Flavia and Haddon Clark. Haddon was known to police due to a previous arrest for burglary, and also as a suspect in the disappearance of a young girl. His mother struggled with alcoholism, and his father suffered with depression and was prone to abusive outbursts. His birth was difficult, and his brother believes that, whether it be due to the lack of oxygen he received or the use of forceps and possible damage, from the get-go, there was something warped about Haddon.
What, his head? Because they say that, don't they? Using the fucking clamps, like the tongs, it can, like, warp their head.
So literally, like...
What do you mean?
Because warped, like, his thoughts are warped.
I thought you meant the shape of his ear.
Well, I mean, technically, but what I'm saying is you're taking it very literally.
Right, okay.
As a child, Haddon struggled with development. His younger brother Jeff described Haddon's sense of reality as being, quote, askew. And his older brother Brad spoke of various animals that died suspiciously around him. Squirrels, possums, skunks, raccoons and hamsters. Quite a collection of animals.
Be careful around them skunks.
As an adult, he struggled to hold down a job. He worked in restaurants and cruise ships before joining the Navy in 1982. But Haddon was discharged in 1985, following his diagnosis of schizophrenia.
So he couldn't even do the Navy?
What do you mean he couldn't even do the Navy?
Well, he couldn't hold down a job. No. He's like, right, I got it Navy. And he got kicked out of that.
Well, his time in the Navy wasn't great. Haddon claims that while serving, he was attacked by his crewmates, and he says that the beating he received was, quote, the beginning of all my troubles.
Well, they attacked him because he had schizophrenia?
No, we don't know the full story.
Oh, okay.
Which, although Haddon did exhibit some worrying behaviours before this, his mother and brother did say that he was a lot worse after his time in the Navy. After his discharge, he didn't always have a stable living arrangement and would often sleep in his van. He also seemed to have a very specific issue with women. It was said that any time Haddon had any sort of an altercation with a woman, he would always retaliate.
Incel.
If Haddon felt like he had been wronged by you in some capacity, well then, good luck to you. In one instance, Haddon had been renting the basement of a family's home, When their daughter was to return home from travelling, they asked Haddon to move out. So what do you think Haddon decided to do?
Go on.
He planted fish heads in the walls of the daughter's bedroom.
I'd have never got that.
No. No, I mean literally into the wall and sealing it back up. He was doing it.
Fucking
hell. He was fucking them over.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Now, like I mentioned, Haddon was Penny's gardener. And during his time spent working for Penny, Haddon said that he was going through a lot of mental problems, and Penny was like a mother to him. She was said to have taken a charitable attitude towards people, and Haddon was someone she chose to look out for, knowing the problems that he was going through. But when Laura came back home, Haddon noted that his relationship with Penny had changed. When Penny had first found out that they suspected Haddon, she didn't want to believe it. She seemed to think that they were just targeting him. At the time of the murder, Haddon worked multiple jobs. Gardening, distributing flyers, which he also did on rollerblades, earning him the name of the Rockville Rocket.
Fuck off.
Well, as well as this, he also worked part-time at What's a Bagel, and he would frequently bring bagels back for Penny and Laura.
Now, I like a good bagel.
So do I. I thought you didn't. I thought you said they're too doughy.
No, a lot of them are too doughy, but I've got a feeling if you went to America and got a proper fucking bagel, I'd enjoy it more. There is some over here I can eat, but not a lot of them. A lot of them are like eating cardboard.
So with Haddon being the gardener for Penny and his unusual behaviour the day he saw Warren, of course police wanted to speak with him. On Thursday the 22nd of October, Haddon goes to the police station and they ask him about his activities on the 18th and 19th of October. He tells them that he spent Sunday watching the World Series at the Dancing Crab restaurant in DC. By 11 p.m, he was back in his truck, which was parked at the North Bethesda United Methodist Church. He woke up the next morning between 9 and 10 a.m. He drove to the supermarket and then to a family's home, who he gardened for. But when they weren't home, he then decides to visit a friend and also stop by the skate shop.
To get some new blades.
I'd imagine so. He goes to the laundromat and then to the National Naval Medical Center to shower. He visits his friend Sue, who was present when Haddon was speaking with the police. After this, he drives by the Hoteling House on his way to settle for the night. And this is when he ran into Warren. That same day, Haddon wrote a letter to Penny. Quote, "Just please give me a call when you're ready to do some gardening again. And I can also bring you bagels on Friday too."
Wish someone would bring us stuff like that.
Well, do you remember my brother used to work at the petrol station?
Oh, yeah.
We used to get like all the freebie pastries and stuff.
Yeah. And then when I was a lad, I had a friend and her sister worked at a chippy. So we'd get loads of shit at the end of every day. Well, no, I think she only worked there on Saturdays. Yeah, it was always Saturday. We'd get all leftovers.
The week previous to Laura's disappearance, Haddon and Laura's mother Penny had gotten into an argument over some tools that she claimed were missing from the shed. So remember, Haddon does not like conflict. He doesn't like to be accused of. So if you've wronged him,
yeah,
and she's accusing him of theft now,
and she's female.
She is female.
No, you said, but it's worse with females.
So if you're to wrong them, that's bad, but it's women.
Yeah.
Police checked over Haddon's transaction history, and they noticed that he'd recently purchased duct tape, rope, and nylon cord. He paid for these items with a check, and in the memo of the check, Haddon had wrote, "Laura."
Oh.
The day of Laura's disappearance, Haddon made another purchase, a queen-sized bed sheet, too big for the mattress in his truck, but the same size as Laura's bed. They were also able to see through his expenses that Haddon had rented a storage space in Warwick, Rhode Island, 450 miles from Laura's home. A worker at the storage unit noted that Haddon had visited the unit 2 days after Laura had gone missing. So, of course, they obtain a search warrant for Haddon's unit.
Mm.
Within the storage unit, police found an abundance of women's clothing, bras, dresses, shoes, coats, and bra inserts. A necklace found would later be identified as belonging to Laura.
Oh, fuck. So we've either got a serial killer or someone who goes robbing off washing lines. I know, because you wouldn't have them bra inserts. You mean like the chicken fillet yolks?
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't hang them off a line.
Well, I mean, you got to rinse them at least, don't you?
I don't know. I've never owned a pair of chicken fillets.
Well, the thing is here, it's certainly a bit of a shocking discovery for the police. They're kind of like, what? You know, they're expecting to find something slightly more sinister.
Yeah.
And instead it's just a load of women's clothing, wigs, what have you. Haddon would later claim that when he was a kid, his parents forced him to dress in feminine clothing. His brother would later say that he doesn't know about him ever being forced to, but that Haddon would take his mother's clothing.
Oh, got an Eddie Gein.
Well, the thing is, at the time, his brother just...
What?
I got Eddie Gein.
But the thing is, at the time that Haddon was doing this, his brother just looked at it as, you know, it's just a kid having fun playing dress up. He believes it was more of a case of Haddon being caught by his parents, though, rather than being forced.
Yeah.
Either way, it was most likely that Haddon was made to feel shame about dressing in feminine clothing. Now, jumping back for a sec, when we talked about them collecting evidence, they collected 30 hairs from Laura's hairbrush. All were found to be similar, bar one. One of the hairs was synthetic, which Laura never wore wigs.
And he's got wigs.
Exactly, but Haddon did.
Wait, so you're brushing his... You're wearing a wig and brushing hair with her brush.
That's what it's looking like right here. So, with this, they compared the fibres found in Haddon's wigs to the one found in Laura's hairbrush, and they did get a match. They sent the samples to the FBI in Washington, D.C., where they had the equipment to determine which of the 7,000 dyes used in the U.S. were present on this particular wig. The dyes used, they also have to be trademarked to avoid duplication, so you know it's not being used in any number of manufacturers.
Yeah.
And wouldn't you know it, the dye used in Haddon's wig matched the hair found in Laura's hairbrush. They also compared the fingerprints found to Haddon's, and it was also a match. After this, officers approach Haddon's truck, which is parked at the Bethesda First Baptist Church. They peer in through the window to see Haddon asleep with a teddy bear in his arms. They knock on the window and instruct him to exit the vehicle. Police inform Haddon that he is under arrest for the murder of Laura Hotling. To which Haddon replies, okay.
Well, I fired it. Like,
can't fight it.
They've
got
you.
Yeah.
Did he get to take his teddy with him?
You do see footage of him getting questioned.
Hmm.
And there is a teddy bear there. And it looks similar to the one he had in his truck. I don't know if they took it or he requested it or if they just... got a replica.
Well, no. This is what I mean. I wasn't like trying to be funny. Saying,
no, it's
did
a support thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll get more out of him if you make him feel comfortable.
It's actually a good point you're making to do with the comfort level.
Mm.
We're going to talk about that now in a sec because I do not think this was handled very well. So during questioning, they're trying to get Haddon to admit to where he'd left Laura, but he wouldn't say anything. He just kind of smile at them.
Threatened to pull the teddy's head off. They'd tell you then.
To be honest with you, Haddon didn't say much at all, except repeatedly asking for a lawyer, which detectives chose to ignore.
No, you can't do that.
Well, yeah, because of this, they knew they weren't going to be able to use anything that he had said, but they felt it was worth the risk just to be able to find Laura. To be honest, I know I'm in no way qualified to comment, but watching how they interacted with him just made me feel quite uncomfortable. I think the detectives were very unsure themselves on how to deal with Haddon. At one point when they tell Haddon that he's being charged with murder, one of the detectives pats him on the back. Haddon clearly didn't like this and he says to the detective, quote, "Do you have to pat me like that? Hit me?" You can see that he's physically uncomfortable and sort of squirming on the sofa next to the detective. You know, I kind of think it's a case of you have to play the game. You may be disgusted with what Haddon has done, but he has the information about Laura that you need.
Yeah, but it's a bit of a stretch, isn't it? Like, to say, do you have to do that? Hit me? When you've just gutted a fucking woman. Like, where's your standards at?
No, no, I understand what you're saying. And this isn't a case of, oh, let's make Haddon uncomfortable. I don't want him to be uncomfortable. I'm saying he has information you want. Play the game.
Right,
do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it was quite obvious that Haddon didn't like to be touched, and the detective seemed to antagonize him repeatedly. They were trying to get him angry to see if he would say something. At one point of the interview, the detective is pulling at his underwear and saying that he has women's underwear on.
Oh.
Yeah.
At his own?
The detective is pulling at Haddon's underwear, like pulling it up and going, you've got women's panties on kind of thing. And it's like...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. As they keep at him about what he had done to Laura, Haddon tries to stand up and the detective grabs him, slams him back down onto the seat and keeps hold around his neck. The detective then says to him, quote, I'm not playing games with you. I will kill you. Do you understand? With the detective's hand still around his neck, Haddon nods his head.
Fucking hell.
They were incredibly rough with him, not taking any shit.
Mm.
I just feel it was not the right... Again, I know I'm not qualified to say I'm not in that situation, but it's quite... I'll show you some of the footage later.
Mm.
It's quite uncomfortable to watch, and I just don't think it was the right approach to someone like Haddon.
To anyone?
No, to anyone. But they're thinking... They literally said, we're going to get him angry and he's going to say something.
Yeah,
I don't think Haddon works that way.
Mm.
He's just going to kind of feed off that, if anything, and I don't think you should be threatening to kill a suspect.
They'd have got more out of him if, and I'm being serious, they'd have got more out of him if one of the cops walked in cross-dressed.
Well, they actually did bring women in and had them kind of dressed up to speak to him at different points because they thought he'd react better to women wearing something that he may like or kind of, might kind of attract him more.
Well, I meant a fella come in dressed as a woman.
Why do you think that?
Because it's like they've got a mutual interest then of cross-dressing, you know, a bonding thing.
Mm. But, I mean, I think it's quite strange because, you know, they tried the tactic of having women come in, you know, hair, makeup, nice clothes, sat there and, you know, really leaning into their femininity. But then they also have the male detectives kind of abusing him and making fun of him. And I didn't quite understand.
Good cop, bad cop.
It was very extreme, though.
Mm.
Very extreme. Now, in regards to the trial, because they still don't have a body, they've not only got to rely on the evidence that they have to convince a jury that Laura was dead, but that Haddon was the one who had killed her. The trial was set to begin on the 14th of June, 1993. But before the trial even began, Haddon took a plea deal. He chose to read a statement to the court. Quote, during the early morning hours of October the 19th, 1992, I entered the home of Laura and Penny Hotling. I found Laura alone in her bedroom. I killed her by means of suffocation while she lay there in bed. I moved her from the bed and buried her. I was not assisted by any other person and suffered no delusions at the time of the crime. I committed the crime of my own free will. I profoundly regret my actions and wish to extend my deepest sorrow and regrets to the family of Laura Hotling with all my heart.
Well, bollocks.
I am pleading guilty and for no other reason.
It's bollocks. He's lying.
What do you mean he's lying?
He's saying he found her in the bed, mm-hmm. and he suffocated her and then buried her.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the blood from then? Knobhead.
Now, part of the deal was that Haddon would show authorities where Laura's body was buried. So he leads police into the woods, about a half mile from Laura's home. There they find Laura's body, buried in a shallow grave, about 15 feet from the road. Laura's remains were partially protruding from the soil and had become skeletal due to animal scavenging. Due to the advanced state of decomposition, it was advised for Laura's mother not to view the body. During an autopsy, suffocation was listed as a possible cause of death, which had indeed confirmed himself.
Mm.
He also confessed to getting a knife and a pair of scissors from the kitchen. The scissors were a match for the previously identified blood swipe marks found on the pillowcase. It's believed that Haddon was aware that Penny was away on business at the time and entered the home sometime after midnight. He goes to the kitchen, grabs a knife, and heads to Laura's bedroom. He suffocates her with a pillow before stabbing her. He uses the scissors to remove her earrings, which is where he swipes blood across the pillow. After this, Haddon wraps Laura's body in the bedsheet, mattress protector, and some plastic, and carries her into the woods, dropping the pillow along the way.
He couldn't figure out how to take her earrings off, but he had to cut her fucking ears.
Yeah, he like cut the lobe just to get them off.
Instead of just pulling the back out and...
It does sound very odd to me. I don't know. I feel like there's some information missing there. Yeah. He then returns to the home and cleans up as much of the scene as possible. Following this, he changes his clothes, puts on a wig, and uses Laura's hairbrush. He then leaves the home through the front door, so neighbours would see Laura leaving for the day as normal.
This does sound familiar now.
Mm.
I remember ages ago saying to you, it's a case you can cover. All I can remember is but the killer walked out of the house looking like the victim.
Yeah, when I watched that episode, it had me shook.
Yeah.
Shook. Now, there was one detail that Haddon fucked up on here. Laura was tall and generally preferred to wear skirts or dresses as she felt trousers accentuated her height.
Mm.
But the last time Laura was seen leaving her home, she was wearing slacks, as well as a full-length trench coat, which Laura didn't even own a trench coat. Now, remember when we said about Haddon driving past the home? It's thought that he may have been on his way to the house that night with the bedsheet he had purchased to replace the one he had wrapped her body in, and that is why Haddon appeared so skittish at Laura's brother approaching.
Yeah, that makes sense.
In regards to Haddon's vast collection of clothing at the storage unit,
yeah,
Haddon did say that he had a sort of alter ego called Kristen Bluefin.
Kristen Bluefin.
Mm.
Okay.
So, you know, like I said, he had this alter ego. He clearly enjoyed presenting in a more feminine manner.
Mm.
But as far as the murder goes, I think him dressing up to look like Laura that morning is completely unrelated. Haddon has been described as being quite cunning. I think he already had the access to women's clothing and a wig, and he knew he could use them to his advantage in this situation.
Oh, so he'd got it in for Laura. Because since she came back, the mother weren't spending as much time with him.
I mean, I would take a guess that's where it's leaning towards. I think, you know, maybe whatever was going on, he felt maybe a little bit about, if we're going by his story, his account.
Yeah.
Maybe he felt a little bit abandoned. He said he looked at her as a mother figure to him. She claims that there was tools missing. Maybe that was the revenge thing he did.
Mm.
But then when she kind of accused him of theft, it was like, right, it's ramping up. He's going to get them back tenfold.
Right, okay.
Laura's remains were cremated and she was laid to rest next to her father in Riverside Cemetery in Fairhaven. The cemetery is located just a few miles from the Hotlings Beach House. In the courtyard of her Harvard dormitory, a birch tree was planted and a bench was placed with Laura's name inscribed. A memorial fund has also been established to aid Harvard students. I feel as though I'm possibly ending this case somewhat abruptly. But don't worry, we will be coming back to Haddon. But for now, that is the murder of Laura Hotling.
Oh, he's done more.
There's quite a bit in Haddon that we can talk about. He's quite a fascinating character.
Well, where did the rest of the clues come from?
Yeah, this is one of those cases where it's incredibly senseless. But it gets sensationalized because of Haddon's dress.
Yeah.
And all of that. And people kind of go, oh my God, did it cross-dressing? And it's like, lads, regardless of what he was wearing,
yeah,
he still murdered this woman in her bed. Like, forget the fucking wig. Yeah, the the finding the synthetic hair from the point of view of investigation, yeah, that part's interesting. But people get so carried away with...
And the walking out.
Yeah.
Looking that, like the victim.
The cunning side of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like I said, I don't think that's anything related to how he wants to present his alter ego or whatever. I think that's a cunning little shit.
Yeah. It's the same as there were another case I'd like watched a documentary or something on. And I didn't know this, but apparently it's a really popular case. I can't remember the name of the guy, but he was essentially just living in this family home.
Yes.
And they found him in a wedding dress.
Yeah.
People like to fixate on they found him in a wedding dress. And it's like, he did a lot more than that.
Yeah, exactly. That's the one detail. It's like, oh, that's kind of creepy. But that's not the story.
The fact he was living in the walls
yeah.
of the fucking home.
Yeah. No good.
No.
There seem to be a lot of tragedies surrounding this case. Like Laura's best friend, you know, who was kind of doing their own investigation with her brother.
Yeah.
Her mother died 3 months previous to Laura.
Okay.
That's a lot for, you know, what do you mean, okay? That's a lot.
Yeah, but natural causes or?
I don't know what, that's a lot. At like 20, well, assuming she's the same age as Laura.
Hmm.
At 23 to lose your mother and your best friend in 3 months.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, maybe I'm a bit harsh there.
Okay. you know, it was said that Penny had suffered quite a few tragedies in her family. She's since passed, and Warren as well. He passed away in 2017 at the age of 50 of a heart attack.
Oh.
So, fucking brutal.
Pouring out for him.
Pouring out for Warren. Even though you were shitting on him.
Well, his name's Warren. And I've never heard the name Haddon before. I don't know if that's a popular name in America. Haddon?
I wouldn't imagine it's that popular.
No.
I think he's the only person I know called Haddon.
Well, I don't really know him. So I don't know anyone called Haddon.
You don't know him personally, but you know of him.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba has been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
So, lift us. Oddity.
Stop saying that and setting me up for failure. So, Oddity.
Mm-hmm.
Catman.
Okay.
I suppose I'll just say what it is. There's no way around this. There is currently a man prowling around Merseyside dressed as a cat.
Not wrong with that.
Is there not?
There's no law against it.
Yeah, no law against it, but it makes me feel a little bit uneasy.
Unless he's like walking around squatting everywhere, pissing and shitting.
Okay, well, so far you're for it. Off the minute amount of information you have, you're about it.
If I'm honest,
you might take it up on the weekends.
If I'm honest, I'm kind of disappointed. No. I initially went to Batman thinking, but someone was dressing like a cat as like a superhero sort of thing.
No, this is more creepy to me.
Okay.
So this person is dressed in a black cat suit that covers their face, complete with cat ears. Mainly sighted at the beach, he stalks through the sand dunes and hides behind bush shelters and imitates the noises of a cat. Some reports claim that he's leaping from behind gravestones.
Why?
He's also been known to writhe around on the ground while growling.
Ride around?
Writhe. Writhing. You know, like when a cat is like wriggling on the ground? And like.
No.
Yeah. Allegedly. During one particularly unsettling encounter, he approached someone's car. Quote, "I was sitting in my car, minding my own business, and I heard a bang on the passenger window. It was a silhouetted figure saying meow repeatedly."
So he's got something wrong with him.
That would freak me out. Would that? No. Forget everything else. I'm not like assuming he's just having the crack.
Yeah.
That would freak you out.
Yeah.
A completely masked person. You can't see them. You can't recognize who this person is. And they just bang on your window. And you're like, who the fuck's that guy? And he's there meowing at you.
Yeah.
Be like, excuse me, sir.
I just bark back at him.
There's been many sightings with videos and photos being uploaded to social media, although the police have asked people to report any incidents rather than just uploading their run-ins online.
But he's not doing anything wrong. Like, report him to the police for what?
Well, this is the thing. There's mixed feelings on it. The encounters have left some frightened by the catman's behaviour. Quote, was walking my dog tonight and heard a man making cat noises. He was waving his arms at me before crawling up the hill. Never been so scared.
Let the dog off the leash.
But I mean, like, the more the angle you're leaning towards, there's many who think he's absolutely harmless, with one witness saying, quote, he just likes being a giant cat. He doesn't frighten our dog.
No, but this is it. Like, he's obviously a little weirdo, but he's not, like, anything you've told me so far, he's not doing anything wrong. It's just weird.
Okay.
You can't arrest someone for being weird.
Where the line is for me, if I'm just seeing him out in the hedges doing it, it might scare me a bit because I'd be like, what is his intention? But if he's doing, that's fine. Going up to someone's car and banging on the glass, that's where I'm a bit like, don't touch my car.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that could be anyone walking on the street. If they bang on my window, I'm like, hey.
Nah, like I've told you before, like, so when I was younger and I saved up and I got myself a BMW 3 Series and I was fucking really happy with it. And I'd only had it about a week and I stopped at a red light.
Mm-hmm.
And this cyclist came up the passenger side of the car, stopped like in line with my front wheel. And then he's there leaning on my fucking car, got his hand on my car. So I put the passenger's window down. I says, what are you fucking doing? And he went, my feet are in the pegs. I couldn't give a fuck. Get off my car.
That's your property.
And he tried arguing.
Cheeky bastard.
And I was like, I will throw you and your bike attached over that fucking edge. Get off my fucking car. Like, it's nothing to do with me.
Was he dressed as a cat at the time or?
No, a prick with a fucking piss pot on his head. You know, fucking lycra.
So not a million miles away from Catman.
No.
Another person said, quote, I don't feel scared really. He was waving his arms and making panther noises. I felt more confused than scared. And possibly the best statement.
Okay.
Quote, I tried to piss him and he scattered. That has to be a piss take. Someone has to have said that for the laugh. Come on.
Look, right, what I'm getting from the information you've given me, because kids like to dress up and like act out stuff. So I'm guessing it's someone, you know, it's clearly very immature for a man.
I mean, there's a few possible options here. It could be someone who is purely taking the piss slash trying to scare people.
Oh no, this is dedication.
It could be a kink.
Oh.
Or it could be someone who doesn't quite realise what they're doing and how much it can scare a person because they're just enjoying themselves.
Yeah, I think it's the last one. I really do. I'm getting the sense it's the last one.
Yeah, someone doesn't quite understand the gravity of it. But I mean, like I said, so far he hasn't done anything to harm anyone. He's just scared the shite out of people.
This is what I mean. Merseyside? He's lucky he hasn't took a right fucking kick
in. There's people going to try and spot him now.
To kick the fucking shit out.
No, to get a sighting of the Catman or Panther Man as he's
also
known.
But what I'm saying, Merseyside? Like, someone's going to kick lumps out of him.
No, they're enjoying it, it seems. There's some people who've been caught off guard and been frightened because they're seeing someone crawling around and jumping out and meowing at them. They're a bit like, what the fucking hell's going on?
Yeah.
But now that they kind of know he's about, there's a lot of people who want to see him in his natural habitat.
Well, I don't. To be honest.
I tell you from me, my perspective of it is, I agree with you. I think overall it's not a big deal. He's not trying to harm anyone.
Hmm.
But me personally, the cat movement thing, I can't do. I'm soiling myself on the spot.
When you said, but he comes were up riding to me. On the ground.
No, I can't deal with that. I may, logically, intellectually, I may know he's not doing anything wrong.
Mm.
But me, in my head, I'm shitting myself right there and then. Thank you so much for listening. Find us on Patreon, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. If you have a case suggestion, or maybe even your own story, email us at mortalmusingspodcast@gmail.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games, and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.